This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under Stewardship Resources or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar on September 17, 2024 in East Earl, Pennsylvania.
It's good to be here today. We come 12 hours to be here, and so far it's been well worth it. Ask the question when you're at something like this is, why am I here? You're here for some purpose today. I suppose that purpose could be summed up in saying that I'm here so that I learn how to better operate my business, or how I can be a better employee. Tomorrow's day will focus more on that. And I think that's a good question to ask. Well, I'm here because many people have helped me. And I think as business people, we should be willingly reaching out for input and ideas on how we can best serve the Lord where He has called us. My desire is to bring honor and glory to the Lord and help you to do the same. I have a debt. I have a debt to many people that have helped me, and I'll never repay that debt. And this is an opportunity to make a small payment on it, but I'll never get it repaid. Well, the topic before us is for anyone involved in business, and I suppose there's some farmers here, I suppose there's some employees here, and there's business owners here, and this topic is for you. My goal is to inspire you to think about the processes that your business is involved in, what makes your business successful, what makes the things happen that you do every day. And my goal is to make you think about those processes and to write them down and to formalize them. And I think as you do that, you will find it extremely helpful, as we have in our business. Well, it's for owners, we need processes that our people understand. And processes help communicate your vision and your goals to your people. And if you have a business and you have people working for you and you don't have a way of doing things, your people are going to be lost and they're going to start filling in the blanks themselves. And that's all right to a point, but you need to work with them. You also need these processes for yourself. What do you do when you get up and go to work Monday morning? Do you know what you're going to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Do you have a process of how you do your work as an owner? So we're going to challenge you to do that. Managers, they need to understand what they're to do, and they also need to have repeatable processes that the people that they serve can follow, and so that they can be effective. Employees, you'll find you'll be very much more effective if you pay attention to how you're doing your job. And if you're here and you're a farmer, and I'm glad you're here, you're running a business too. And sometimes we have this tension between farmers and businessmen, and we businessmen look at these farmers and think, well, the price of corn, that looks pretty good, you know, you just cash the check. And the farmers look at us businessmen and say, huh, you get to set your prices for your product. Ain't that great? Well, we all have our unique challenges, but if you apply processes to your operation, I think you'll find that your life can stop being running around putting out fires and have a little more structure to it. Some of you probably heard the example of a motion study expert that would go around to factories and he would help them to become efficient manufacturers. And there's different programs today that's formalized into. But the one of the things he would do is he would go and he would find the laziest man in the factory, maybe on the assembly line or maybe a certain segment, and he would watch how this man did his work. And he would jumpstart his process of making processes by looking at how the laziest man did his work. Well, this topic is not a shortcut to laziness. We don't want to um, to figure out today how we're going to be put in less effort, but rather how to make our effort more effective. I want this to be a call to a mindful, energetic improvement in the way we operate. A dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a process. A process put into action becomes reality. Maybe you're here today and your reality is not what you'd like it to be. Well, you need to work on the things that are in capital letters here. Dream, goal, what's your process, and your action. Are you taking action? Sometimes that's where we fall short. Maybe we have some dreamers here that they can sure think up some big ideas and make a plan, but it just never quite gets put into action. And then what's our reality? And if our reality is not what we want it to be, we can go back and start at the beginning. Maybe you need to examine your goals or your processes. Well, what's the definition of a process? Webster says it's a series of actions or operations conducing to an end. So that's simple enough. Maybe we could say we better understand this by using some synonyms like method or a system. Or you could say a step-by-step method. The one I like the best is recipe. Most of us understand very well what it is when we say we have a recipe. You get your flour and your eggs and your oil and you put them together. Sometimes the steps are important of how it's put together. Sometimes it's not so important. And so recipe, I think, is helps us to understand what it is we're talking about. And the success part, I would like to propose to you that success in business is a byproduct of doing the right thing. And so when we have a process in place, we should be asking ourselves, does this process help us to do the right thing or the right things? And then success can be a byproduct of that. And we'll look specifically at adding success to our processes, making sure that they're successful. Well, I define that by serving God and meeting other people's needs. And the more people's needs you meet, the more effectively, then success and the financial end can take care of itself. So a series of steps that makes a process repeatable. Another thing I'd like to say here is that we go into business often so that we can be successful financially. And I believe that's a wrong goal. Financial success is a byproduct of doing what you should be doing. And if you seek financial success and that's your goal, I think it's going to be like chasing that end of the rainbow and that pot of gold that's supposedly there, and you'll never find it. Well, when businesses work well, we want to know, what are they doing? What are they doing? How are they doing it? And putting together processes helps us to understand that. I think also, too, we get to searching for an easy path to success. So maybe we start our own business because we think that, well, now I get to charge $100 an hour, or now I get to sell the product and keep all the profit. And we don't think about what all goes into it. And success is not our default setting, is it? Success is not a default setting. We have to work at it. So if you're here today thinking that you're going to start your own business and this is going to work out well, I challenge you to learn to work hard, put in the effort, discover what works for people, discover what works for yourself, and learn how to do it. You know, we often hear that I have so much to do, I don't even know where to start. Well, processes can help us to know what to do and know where to start, but there's also an important thing, and that's the end. If we don't finish what we started, your stress rate goes up tremendously. How many here are here today with something left undone? Well, I believe that's 100%. I should have both hands in the air. So processes can help us finish what we started. So let's think about creating these recipes. Let's think about putting the recipe together, but let's think about the finishing of it. So let's finish what we started. Well, we want to start with some foundational things. So I have a picture of a roof up here, and I think this is a business challenge for us that have been in business for a number of years. We get to working on the, I'm going to call them external things. We get to working on how the business property looks. We get to working on, adding this product line or that product line or another service or another product to sell. And we let go of the foundation. I'm going to tell you a story. There was a man I know that started working for an animal genetics company. And when he got there, it was a mediocre company. They had premium animals that were left over to sell, and they were struggling financially as a result of that. And within about 6 months after this man started, he started in the as general manager, I guess you'd call him, they didn't have enough animals to sell. And when he was asked, "What did you do?" he said this. He said, "I started calling everybody back." And isn't that the way it is with our businesses? We forget the pillar of calling people back. We forget the foundational aspects. And if you forget the foundational aspects of your business, that roof is going to fall on your head. And so let's, as we do these processes, let's focus especially on the things that keep the business strong and keep a good foundation. Formalized processes are a defense against that happening to your business. Well, what's the foundation? We need a right foundation if the step-by-step methods are going to work. So if we don't know the goal we're heading for in our business, then how are we ever going to make a process because we don't know where we're aiming for? We're just going to be shooting arrows at nothing, and very rarely are they going to hit the mark. I think the first thing we need to have is a foundational step to making good processes is have a mission statement. And I remember when I first started in business back in 2001, I of course bought a business and it wasn't doing excellent, so we had to grow it and didn't know which way that was going to take. And if you had asked me then, "Neil, you need to make a mission statement," I said, "I don't have time for that. I've got stuff to do." But when you make a mission statement, it gives you a focus and a goal and tells you what you're about. So what does a mission statement do for us? Well, today it would take, if you came, some of you shed builders, and you say, "Do you want to sell sheds for us?" We would tell you, "No, that doesn't align with our mission." And so that's what a mission statement can do for you. It helps center you on what you should be doing and what your business is about. And so I challenge you to define the goals you're aiming for by creating a mission statement. The second one on this slide is the most important to me. Be a team worker. Another way of saying that is be a team player. At our business, this is the most important thing in the hiring process that I cover. Are you a team player? And if you are a team player, a lot can get done. Because then it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. It's about we and what can be accomplished together. And we know much more can happen if we're working together. So I think in your business, if you have someone that's not a team player, you need to sit them down and have a discussion with them, maybe make a process for handling that. And if someone is a team player and was not, I think you should deal with it. It's going to hinder you here in creating processes. So at our place of work, I say it this way: if you're a team worker, you can, we'll hire you. That's our number one criteria. But as we go on through the years, if you lose it, then you're going to have to go find a workplace that appreciates the individual a lot more than what we do. How do you work this out for a mission statement if you're just a single man operation or you're just an employee? I think a friend of mine told me one time, he thinks that everyone in business should have their own personal mission statement. He called it a personal motto, and I took that and borrowed that and felt that has done a lot of good for us in our business. So maybe what your personal motto could read is, you're responsible. I take responsibility. I'm a team player, etc. Develop a process-oriented culture. What does that mean? That means asking your people, how are you doing this and why are you doing it? And will you know how to do this tomorrow, or can you train someone else to do your job? You know, some people like to own businesses so that they can push the unpleasant tasks on other people. And if you're not leading by example, you're just pushing other people around. And so lead by example here and make processes for yourself. Well, what are some reasons for processes? Did you ever notice an individual, you know one like this, maybe it's you, that you get a lot of work done. It just doesn't seem like they're moving that energetically. It just doesn't seem like they're rushing around like some of us tend to do. And what is it that makes that person different from myself or from the person that they have to be a hazy blur and to accomplish much, and then even that, it's not that great. Well, I think those people, you'll discover that they're always asking themselves, how can I do this better? What's my next step? Okay, what would happen if I would put step number 3 in front of step number 2? Would it go quicker? And I think you'll find those most efficient people are the ones that are always asking themselves that question. They might not be thinking about it, they might not be writing it down, but they have a process and they're working it and they're consistently doing that process. And I find the most efficient people in the shop that we operate do this. They have a way of doing things, and if we're training someone new in and we want to know how to do this certain project that we do a lot, we say, well, we'll go work with him for a bit and then follow what he's put in place. And the beauty of processes is if you follow that, then you can achieve the same results. Well, what's the reason? Well, we've been talking about repeatable results. And I like this one, and I think we need to remember this in our process creation and our businesses. Simple, clear purpose and principles give rise to complex and intelligent behavior. Complex rules and regulations give rise to simple and stupid behavior. So if you have some simple and stupid behavior in your business, look at what the processes are, and maybe it's a lack of them. Well, we need to repeat the same tasks if we're going to be successful. We need to know what to do, we need to know how to do it, and we want to have success that we can repeat next year, tomorrow, next month, and we want to be able to bless others with the knowledge of how we do something so that they can mirror that or use that in their life. So McDonald's uses processes, don't they? And they use processes to a fault. And if you go to Oregon and you order a Big Mac, do you know what you're getting? Well, sure you do. You're going to get the same thing as if you go down the road here to McDonald's and order a Big Mac, aren't you? The reason is because they have a process for it. And so McDonald's is what they repeatedly do. And excellence maybe is not a word I would use there, but that's what brings excellence. That's what brings the same expectations, at least. So what are some reasons that we avoid this process creation? I think, going back and up to McDonald's there a little bit, you know, they're refining their process constantly. One of their refinements, I think, that they're doing today is, I know they're doing this, is they're lowering the price. They're saying our customer has a stress in where they're living. They're having financial stress, and we're going to keep sales up by lowering the price. Now, I suspect that's affecting profitability, but their process is including that. Let's go on to reasons we avoid this. And each one of these reasons, I must tell you that I have been guilty of. We fear loss of control. And maybe this is The biggest one, I put it first. I don't know what it is for you that would keep you from sitting down and writing down what it is that you're doing that makes your business work. But I think that fear stands in the way. Fear can have so many forms. We fear to look stupid because we come up with this idea that we're going to write down what we're doing. And somebody's going to say on the team, well, let's just go do it. Let's not write it down. Let's just go do it. We fear loss of control because when somebody else knows how to do your job, what are you? You're replaceable. Well, I think as Christian people that should be a part of our outlook because we know we're not here forever. We need to be replaceable. And if I am the only one at work that knows how to do my job, I'm missing the mark. And so that's another fear that stands in our way. So what is it for you? Sometimes people think, well, if I'm the only one that knows how to do my job, then I'm secure. I've got security. Well, really? The next one, we back up there. The next one is laziness. It does take effort and work to get a business going. And when you're starting up and you're maybe you just bought an enterprise, you have a lot of passion, a lot of enthusiasm, and you want to see things going, and you have a lot to do, and you have a lot of ideas, and you make it work. But sooner or later, laziness sets in, complacency. Maybe it's because you surmounted the challenges, you climbed the mountain, and now you're like, well, now what? Well, processes can keep you busy. They can keep you busy. And so when you get that complacent attitude, you can look back and say, okay, what are the things I need to be doing? Another thing that stands in the way is we don't want to admit that we need to grow. And if you're responsible for the way things are done in your business now, this can be hard. You don't like to accept input because I might have been wrong, or there might be a better way. And so this stands in the way of us creating step-by-step processes for what we're doing. We just don't want to admit that I need help. Well, that's simply pride, isn't it? And God hates it, and we should hate it too. And don't let laziness stand in the way. The next one I have there is a good enough syndrome. I guess it's good enough. And maybe it is. But businesses can become very, very skilled at providing mediocre service. Do you know what I mean? And I have a term up here on the board, professional mediocrity. And if that's your business, then let's get it bounced out of that. We have always done it like this. Have you ever heard that before? Well, why do you do it that way? Well, because we've always done it this way. And I think veteran workers and veteran owners are especially susceptible to this. We say, well, it's worked. It's worked for 10 years. It's going to keep working. And there are some things, some basic principles that, yes, they do work. But the way those principles are applied do change over time. Remember I talked about McDonald's having to change the price. Well, you might be in a market environment, too, where you're finding that you need to change the price. And maybe the profitability needs to be lowered so that you change with the times and you don't lose your customers. Well, remember this in your business. As your personal comfort increases, your customer service decreases. I think it's true in every business. If your personal comfort is your concern, then the customers are going to suffer. Well, let's get more into what should I put a process to? Where do I start? Well, core processes, the foundational elements. Think back to the foundational things we talked about, and you'll know what that is for your business. It might be sales. And I think if you sit down and you think about, okay, what is it that's foundational to our business, you might be a bit surprised, and you might say, well, what's foundational to my business is that we build a good product. But maybe it's that you market and sell that product, and that is at least as important as the building of that product. So think about that. What is the core thing that I need or things that I need to keep operating. Why do customers do business with us? That's a question you should be asking yourself. Why do customers do business with us? And that will help you decide what to put a process to. So I have a few things up there: marketing, sales, distribution, customer service, manufacturing. Some of these foundational processes should be the most structured in your organization. These are the things that you want to be able to do again and again. Accounting processes. If you're here today and you're in an accounting department, put in some processes in place so that you know that other people know how things are going to be done, when checks are going to be written, when bills are going to be paid, and on and on. So then, that's the first question. Why are customers doing business with us? The next one is, what supports that? And so back to the example I used of maybe it's the sale of the product that you're building that really keeps you going. Maybe it's distributing it to a dealer network that's strong. Maybe you put in what it is there that really keeps you going. That's what generates your income. Well, what supports that? Well, you're manufacturing a product. So the product needs to be quality. The product needs to have a nice fit and finish. And so that's the secondary thing that you should be looking at. So the most important things to focus on are what moves money into the door and what supports that activity. And I think also you'll find that those processes themselves can be broke down into smaller processes, but a warning against getting too complicated. Well, how do we do this? How do we create a process? And I want to be careful here in this topic not to get the focus wrong. Executing an imperfect plan is often better than waiting until the plan is perfect. And so let's not get too perfectionist about creating these processes and say, well, until I have it all down, step 1 to 10, we can't proceed because we won't know how to do it or what to do. Get started. Well, what's the recipe? Set goals. We talked about that. What do you need to accomplish? All right, you need to create a fine fit and finished product, all right? So what do you need to accomplish? What are you doing now? So if you're operating a business, what are you doing right now? And that gives you a starting point. Well, most of you, if you started up or bought a business or took over an existing business, you brought some passion and energy to that and you went and did. And so what those actions you took, use that as a starting point. Now it gets the harder part. What's not working well? And you're going to probably have to go outside of yourself to answer this question. You're going to have to ask the people on the floor that they're manufacturing, or you're going to have to ask your dealers or your customers, what aren't we doing well? Or maybe you get some reviews that you have to say, well, that really hit home, and that really hit the nail on the head, and we need to learn from that. Write it out. And I would like to put an encouragement for you to write it out by hand. When you write out a process by hand, it sticks better in your mind. There's more of your brain that's at work than if you're just punching on a keyboard. And so write it out step by step and keep it simple. Keep it simple. So if it's not simple, it probably is not going to get done. You know, back to what are you doing now, you probably have some experts that you work with, right? The people you go to work with every day, some of them are just real experts at what they do or at what you do. Talk to them. Bring them in the conversation. Don't make this a process where you hand them a sheet of paper and say, oh, this is the process now that you need to do your job. I can promise you that won't work. That's not the right process. You need to get them involved. What is not working well? Maybe for a car dealership, you could say, well, it's taking too long. A customer walks in the door, it's just taking way too long for us to get them out the door, and we need to shorten that time frame. I say that because I've personally experienced some of that. It takes them way too long. You know, you go to buy a car, and you think, well, yeah, I want it. And you think now 10 minutes later you should be done. Well, it's not that way. They take you to finance, and then they take you to trying to sell you the extended warranties and maybe insurance. And it's frustrating. It's just incredibly frustrating. And maybe that's your customer's experience. Well, the last point, take action. Take action. If we don't take action, it's not going to work. And if you are not, okay, you say, well, we have a process. We know what we're doing. We know how we're doing it. No, it's not written down, but it's just, it's working. This is unnecessary work that you're asking us to do. I would like to tell you that if you have a process of manufacturing a product, of selling an item, of building a deck, whatever it is that you do, you have a process for, and you don't have it written down, it's in danger of becoming extinct. Because one employee that decides he's going to do it his way today, it changes it. Or veteran workers, they can change things too. They can change things too. They can refuse to change when change is needed. So if it's not written down, you don't have a process. You have an endangered business. On the last point, simplicity. Keep it simple. It's probably a principle we've all heard. Complexity kills success, and complexity stops action. And so even the most complex tasks can be broken down into simple steps that are doable, so watch out for complexity. If your process is just never reaching the action stage, probably there's one of two things. One, it's too complex, or two, people aren't buying into it, and you need to have that conversation. Well now, what about success? Well, we need to follow it. So step-by-step process, put it into action and follow it. Keep it within easy reach and look at it often. We have a number of processes in our business. I have a number of processes personally that I do on my daily activities. And when you're a business owner, I think our outlook should be that we serve other people. That's our first and foremost job, that we serve other people. And that does pull in a lot of different ways. And I think that's fine. That my day at business is not necessarily mapped out step by step. It is pulled here and pulled there because I am there to serve the teams, and that is my job. But there are some things that are my responsibility to do and that I have not delegated, and I must have a way of doing those things. And I think this is important, especially as we look forward to maybe passing our business on to family, or we're going to sell it. What value are you going to bring to the table for the people that follow you in business? Well, one of the values you can bring is you say, here is a book. This is how we do things. And you can take it and run with it. And so they can take it and they can put their own flavor to it, but they have a starting point. So how do you make it successful? What is it reaching your goals? For me, one of my jobs is ordering inventory. And I love ordering inventory. And so this is not a hard job for me to do, but I have a process that I go. Well, the problem was we have too much inventory because sales are slowing down. What do we do? Well, what I did was I just stopped the process, right? So Monday morning, I just left the process go, and guess what? Inventory decreased. We put another process in place that was just like this. Okay, salespeople, when you sell a unit and you want us to reorder that one, you let me know. And so that happens. We all sit together there, and that happens. They say, I just sold that one. I think we should reorder it. Of course, I'm looking at it too, and that's how we're doing it, and inventory is decreasing. Because the problem is, if I keep going my process, I'm going to keep that lot way too full. And so that's another way to bring success to your process is if you have a process in place and it's causing a problem, you can let it go or replace it. So look at what's happening. So look at what's happening. Are you reaching your goals? Is it efficient? Or are your people not real excited about following this process because it looks pretty complex? It looks intimidating. Has something changed? Remember, McDonald's says, well, the economic environment has changed, and that affects us all here, so we're going to lower the price. has something changed? So for us, a story of change was he had a business software, business management software that we used for years, and they rolled out this good idea of instead of having it on a server, they would have it in the cloud, and we would use a web browser to go into this software, and oh, it seemed like a good plan. It was going to be very similar, but you know, we got to using this. We even took the training and got to using this software, and we realized this is not working. It's taking 30 minutes or 30 seconds to print one check. Now, if your process takes you 30 seconds to print one check, you might as well hand write it out, right? You can do it quicker. And so we had to change the process. So think about what's happening and what's changed, and make changes to your processes. So a process creates a habit, and habits create who we are. And so who are you? You are what your habits have made you into. So make sure that habit that you're developing in your people and for yourself, make sure it's a good one, and make sure it accomplishes the goals. The next slide will go into an example. So you have this in your book. You can borrow it, start from it. It's just one we have for our salespeople. One of the things that we've changed in this process, this has been refined by our people over the years, but one of the things we've changed is, and I'd like to point out, is in the next slide, and it tells them to get back with the customer with a quote within an hour. Now, most of the customers that call in would have a quote right away on the phone, but we mean get them a paper quote somehow, text, email, snail mail, however they want it. And that used to say 24 hours. And then I think it went to 5 or 6 hours or by the end of the day, and now that is 1 hour. Well, that is us changing with the times. You know, the society we live in is instant gratification, and it's not soon enough anymore. Instant gratification is not soon enough for your customers, it seems like. And so to deliver on their expectations, we need to up the timeline. So that's one way in which we refine this. So that just give that as a jumping off point for you. How, what do you look at? What questions do you ask? And what drove those changes was we just realized that, you know, the customer told us that, oh, I found it somewhere else. And you know, that can even happen today now within an hour. And so it forces a change, or it should prompt a change. Well, let results drive the process. And a couple notes, if you're working on the manufacturing process, you can be pretty rigid. It's got to be done this way. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D, however you have it written out, you can be very rigid with it. If you're making a process that is dealing with people, like your sales process or a hiring process or how you have conduct employee reviews, you need to be more flexible. So I think the flexibility must greatly increase whenever you're relating to people. It's a process that is saying, how am I going to relate to my customer? I'd like to close this now with how are we going to keep going? So you can have a good process, and we talked earlier how business people, and I find this from personal experience, we tend to become complacent. Especially, how many of you started business in the last 5 years? See a raise of hands. Started or bought a business in the last 5 years? There's a number of you here, and you need to watch out. Because the last 5 years was not real business. It was order taking in our world, and we've had to make a mindful transition out of that. So you're going to have to say, okay, we have processes, we follow them, but a process that you created in the last 5 years may not work next year, or may not work this year because things have changed, or it needs, at the very most, it needs tweaked a little bit. So be consistent, and to be consistent, you need accountability. And you can be accountable to the people you work with. I think you should be. You can have a business mentor. For an employee, it can be your manager or your boss that you're accountable to. You make yourself accountable to him or her. So what accountability program do you have? And I challenge you with that. What accountability program do you have? And I used to understand this thing of accountability as being that, well, I'm accountable to my wife, and she asks me questions, and so that keeps me accountable. Or I'm accountable to one of my church brethren, and so, yeah, they ask me questions, and, well, they better be asking the right questions so that I'm really held accountable to them. That's not accountability. Accountability is voluntarily seeking the help you need. And so if you are worried that your business mentor or your accountability partner, are you worried about the questions that they're going to ask you, you're not really at the right place, all right? You need to open yourself up. If there's a question you don't want asked, you better open yourself up and say, ask me about, and start that conversation. So open yourself up means seeking help for yourself. It's not hoping that you don't get asked the hard questions. Company meetings. And this one I struggle with. And I don't have any employees here today, so I'm a little freer up here on this. I used to be at the place where I just say, I hate company meetings. And I suppose some of you could add the same thing. And I, as the leader of the company, it's my fault, right? If I don't like company meetings, then I'm doing something wrong. And so I'd like to encourage you today, start company meetings and have them. So if you're working with employees, I'm sure most of you are working with family or employees, have company meetings, have them regularly. We have them once a month. You might have them much oftener than that, and I applaud that. So have company meetings. I'd like to talk about a few things that we've started that has made it much easier. One is we have an agenda before we go to the meeting. We put that out to the people that are going to attend the meeting and say, here's the agenda. And they have a couple of days to look at it. And of course, they can add to that, but they can't add to the agenda that's given unless they do it in the meeting, and it might get kicked down the road. So make an agenda and share it. Require people to be there. One of the problems we've had is that, well, some people just don't want to come. And that needs to be required attendance. Stick to that agenda. Stick to that agenda. So if everyone knows what the meeting's going to be about and you stick to it, everybody can be prepared, and mentally it can be a much better experience, we've found. And so number one, take agenda items. Number two, share the agenda. Number three, require attendance. Number four, stick closely to the agenda. Number five is take notes. Right? So if you're having a company meeting and you don't take notes, you just had a worthless company meeting. And then delegate. If you're an owner or manager here, you might be like I was. I think one of my dreads of meetings has been it always gives me more to do. And so one of the ways to alleviate that is to delegate. So you delegate and say, well, that's something good that you could do, and you assign it. And then what is not covered, this is important, put it on the next agenda. If you don't cover something or a new item comes up, put it on the agenda for the next meeting. Business mentorship has been alluded here today, and it's very good. You probably do this with some friends or some competitors maybe you sit down with sometimes and talk to them. Seek out what's not going well and accept input. Well, to close this up, small, consistent, and God-honoring changes can transform a floundering earthly enterprise into a godly, successful businesses. So small, consistently executed change is the key to success. Very rarely does even a failing business need to have huge changes made to become successful. They just need to work at a few small things and do them consistently. Homework assignments, create a business mission statement, make yourself accountable, and pick a process and start. Take action. Well, God bless your efforts in creating an orderly way to do His work. Thank you for your time.